This is recording number one. Question asked was, tell me about your engineering career. In 1954, I visited the campus of the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida, while I was serving in the U.S. Navy in Key West, Florida. This was after high school, where I spoke with a professor about the School of Engineering. I was impressed by what I saw and learned, and then later I enrolled at the University of Florida. Being a Korean War veteran in the U.S. Navy, the GI Bill paid for my education and living expenses. I was able to purchase a mobile home and moved it into a facility in Gainesville where there are other veterans of my age and lived there off campus. I completed engineering in 3 years. I earned a Bachelor of Electrical Engineering with honors, majored in communications. My first assignment as an engineer after graduation was with the Martin Company in Orlando, Florida. I was assigned as a systems engineer, where I was responsible for specifying and overseeing the development by two subcontractors, develop a suite of signal conditioning modules used in telemetry, airborne telemetry, for flight testing the Army's new solid propellant Pershing short-range missile. Each Pershing tested carried 80 of these modules. Later, the Army Pershing missiles were deployed along the eastern front of Europe with nuclear weapons atop them to hold the Russian tanks back from invading Europe. After working 2 years at the Martin Company, I decided that I needed to get actual experience designing and developing various electronics equipment as opposed to remaining in systems engineering. So I moved to Houston, Texas, where one of my previous subcontractors for the Pershing program, Dresser Electronics, was located. There, I was assigned and developed one of the signal conditioning modules used to test the new Air Force ICBM missile, the Minuteman. My module was a frequency deviation converter. I took advantage of nearby University of Houston and enrolled and obtained a Master of Science in Electrical Engineering degree while attending night school classes. Then I moved back to Orlando, Florida, where a new small ground and airborne developer of telemetry systems and equipment, Dynatronics, hired me into their airborne section. There at Dynatronics, I was a project engineer with total responsibility for the writing of the proposals to win new business, and then when we won the proposal, leading and doing the design, development, final testing, and shipping to customers of the telemetry and data acquisition equipment for testing a variety of airborne vehicles, such as high-altitude research balloons used by the Air Force, amplifiers for the F-4 Air Force fighter suite of telemetry, a 250-channel system for testing the West German second-stage satellite launcher, where I delivered equipment, spent several weeks with the engineers, trained them, and then came back. And finally, the last one was the most impressive. It was a 40-channel data acquisition system of five equipments, four of which flew aboard the aircraft. It was used for flight testing high-altitude clear air turbulence called HICAT. It was flown in one of the Air Force secret U-2 research aircraft. The Air Force furnished us the airborne pilot's control panel, an iRig time code generator, and a very large Ampex digital tape recorder. While the contract from Lockheed did not ask for any ground test equipment, I saw the need for it, and I was able to develop a field checkout unit, which we supplied to them for testing the equipment in the aircraft and also in the laboratory. I delivered the equipment to Lockheed Burbank, trained them, and then assisted and witnessed the first test of the U-2 carrying that equipment at Edwards Air Force Base. Later, the system was flown all around the world for 2 years testing HICAT. After spending several years at Dynatronics, I left and rejoined the Martin Company, where I switched back to system engineering for the remainder of my career. At Martin, I was engaged in conducting studies, conducting research on new communication technologies, and had one work proposed for a patent for a voice encoding technique. A few years later, I left the Martin Company and went to work for Honeywell Communication Systems in St. Petersburg, Florida. I was trying to follow where the technology was. That's why I moved around a little bit. I wanted to get experience. There, I continued my work and interest in systems engineering. I wrote proposals, conducted studies, and I led the development of a proposal. It was a system contract for the Air Force for automating the Air Force's what were called technical control systems for communications worldwide. Part of the contract was the three of us, including myself, were sent to Tokyo for a week, where we resided at the 5th Air Force headquarters, and we were able to then visit each of the major communication facilities to get a better understanding of the problems that we were working on. Then I returned to Martin Company for the third and last time, where I conducted technology studies on a new communication technique called packet switching. It was an early form of networking. I led the system engineering part of a proposal for upgrading the FAA's en route air traffic control system around the U.S. There are 20-some sites for managing commercial aircraft flying here, there, everywhere. At Martin Company, I became active in engineering professionalism and ethics and became very active in the local Orlando section of IEEE. This caused me to be separated from Martin. I'll talk about that later in a separate question. After becoming a licensed professional engineer in Florida, I was engaged in a mobile home fire investigation which had killed two children, young children. Appearing as an expert witness and being deposed by the two defendant companies, the case was settled in favor of the children's parents. I'll talk about this more later also. I then joined NCR Corporation in Columbia, South Carolina, where they had just set up a new manufacturing and an advanced system engineering department. There, I conducted more networking studies. I joined the American National Standards Institute Committee, developing the U.S. standards for a new technique called packet switching for public data networks. I contributed to both ANSI and the intra-NCR networking standards for the company so that the company could develop the ability to connect their computers, cash registers, and other products together. There, I also was introduced into what were called public data networks. We were developing the American standards for X25 to be used worldwide for connecting devices to those public data networks. Also, the U.S. government had staff on the standards committee, and several were working on what later became known as the Internet. I was offered a position with Harris Corporation in Melbourne, Florida, where I returned from NCR and remained there for 20 years until I retired in 1996. I conducted studies, I led, wrote proposals for new business, and my final job was as the system architect of a very large proposal for upgrading worldwide the defense messaging system led by the Air Force. With Harris being one of the competing prime contractors, we had a team consisting of numerous subcontractors and in-house engineering experts, and I led this. The system design had to employ commercial off-the-shelf technology and products and conform to the new X25, 400, and 500 standards for message switching, an online directory system, and system management. The Harris proposal, when it was submitted, was rated number one technically, and its proposal value was $1 billion. Unfortunately, it was awarded to one other competitor. I later retired in 1996 and then devoted my free time to advancing IEEE's professional and ethics activities.